This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Russian court orders Wall Street Journal reporter to be held in custody. This is alarming given the nature of the Russian regime persecuting its dissenters. In this instance, it's not a dissenter. It's an experienced Wall Street Journal reporter, Evan Gershkovich. And his detention is, to say the least, a blow, but also possible provocation in a war with many of them. I also go to the headlines out of the Ukraine war that are alarming. Russia, entire Ukrainian city leveled in Russian assault, reads the Telegraph in London. We also have news of a whole Russian group of tanks being wiped out in this conflict. There's other bad news, but I have good news here. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft is back with me after several weeks traveling in Ukraine and witnessing the war up close under fire. He is now able to speak, and our conversations these last weeks have not been fruitful because he's been in a war zone. I want to follow his travels very carefully and also to comment on the morale of the Ukrainian people under a perpetual gunfire. Anatole, a very good evening to you. The young man in Russia right now has a difficult fate if the Cold War is a model. When one side takes a prisoner and accuses him or her of being a spy, it gets ugly for a long time. But I come to you for positive news. Where have you been, and what is the mood of the people of Ukraine in the conflict zone? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. I've been in hospital for much of the past 3 weeks because I was traveling in Ukraine, started in Kiev, then went to the city of Dnipro, and then south of that, the city of Zaporizhia, fairly close to the front line, where also the atomic nuclear power station is. And I'm sorry to say that I had a very stupid, commonplace, and unheroic accident. I slipped and fell and bust several ribs and punctured a lung. So I had to spend 8 days in bed in one of the municipal hospitals in the city of Zaporizhia, which is on the Dnipro River, about 40 kilometers from the front line with Russia. Now, I have to say, Zaporizhia was under intermittent bombardment while I was there by the Russians, but I really didn't feel in any serious danger at all, because this is, most of the time, a very lackadaisical, limited, and above all, extremely inaccurate air campaign by the Russians, and a great many of their missiles are shot down. So the thing is that there were 11 missile strikes in all while I was there. To be entirely honest, I slept through most of them. Zaporizhia is a city of 700,000 people. I don't know, that makes it what, about the size of Pittsburgh. You know, if a missile lands on the other side of town, you don't hear it. And only, oddly enough, just as I was packed up, my son came out to help me home. Just as I was packed up and about to leave the hospital, there was the only strike which in all those 9 days, counting the one before I had my accident, in which someone was killed when a Russian missile struck an apartment block in the center of town and killed one person and injured about 30 others. But you see, 11 strikes, one person dead, no piece of important infrastructure hit, one Italian restaurant demolished in the middle of the night. So you see, and a very striking thing is that most of the missiles being fired by Russia, at least the ones that were fired into Zaporizhia while I was there, were actually S-300 anti-aircraft missiles, which were never intended for a ground bombardment role. So in the first place, they're very inaccurate. And it's if you visit some of the places where missiles have hit, you can actually see what the Russians were aiming at. You know, for example, the headquarters of the Ukrainian Security Service, and you'll see where they were trying to hit that. They missed it. They hit an office block opposite and blew in the windows of the SBU headquarters, but not didn't hit the building itself. Or they were trying to hit a missile factory, for example. Both missiles missed. One hit in the middle of the road. One hit a derelict building opposite. But the other thing is, you see, that S-300 missiles are being anti-aircraft missiles, are also actually very small. I mean, they can make a nasty mess of a block of flats, but they are, I would say, I mean, coupled with inaccuracy, almost useless when it comes to trying to destroy infrastructure. Now, the Russians do have much bigger missiles, but all the evidence is that they don't have many of them left, or that they're maybe husbanding them, you know, for this promised forthcoming Ukrainian offensive. So I think I can say with, and of course, I also looked at the effects of the Russian air bombardment in other cities as well, before I had my accident and afterwards. And I think I can say with a very considerable measure of certainty that the Russian air campaign is simply failing. And it's failing to destroy infrastructure, but it's also failing completely to demoralize the population. I mean, the doctors, the nurses, the cleaning ladies in my hospital went about their duties, you know, as if nothing was happening, as if it was peacetime, frankly. So, you know, the initial Russian ground campaign failed. The attempt to capture Bakhmut failed. And now it looks very much to me as if the air campaign has also failed. So that's where we stand now.
Zaporizhia is always in the news as being under bombardment. So is that whole part of Ukraine. Kherson, Zaporizhia, the nuclear power plant at Zaporizhia. It's also, I believe, if I read a map correctly, the road to Crimea. So we're looking at the Russians ineffectively pummeling a part of the landscape that is at the front line of their lines, and nothing's coming of it. So, Anatole, we've been talking about the Ukraine war since the before the first day. Having spent time now, 9 days in bed mending, but still conversant with the story in Ukraine, what kind of war is this? You've been in several different kinds of wars in your distinguished career. Can you compare this to something else we know about in history?
Well, I think, it's very, they wouldn't let me go to the front line in Bakhmut. But I think it's very clear from the pictures of Bakhmut and Mariupol that the massive destruction is where there have been ground battles to capture cities. And that's just what I saw, of course, in Grozny, in Chechnya, in 1994 and 1995. But I must be honest, as a reporter, often, unless you look quite carefully, visiting Ukrainian cities behind the front lines, you wouldn't always know that there was even a war on, because the damage has been extremely limited. Now, every now and again, of course, there is some ghastly tragedy, like in Dnipro, where a much bigger Russian missile demolished a block of flats, killed about 30 people. But an advisor to the Ukrainian president said that in that case, the missile was actually brought down by Ukrainian anti-aircraft fire, which the Ukrainians, of course, with a good deal of Western help, have got extremely good at. They've got very good at that, and they've got very good at quickly repairing electricity infrastructure that is damaged. So, I mean, in terms of resilience, and as long as, you know, enough Western aid continues, my sense is that Ukraine can sustain this level of Russian attack indefinitely.
Is the hospital where you stayed, is that a hospital that receives the wounded from the war? Did you have any sense of that?
Yes, some of them, though they were mostly in a different bit of it. There were my two neighbors, they were both sort of casualties of the war, but one of them fell off the back of an armored personnel carrier and stove his ribs in. And the other one, pretty foolishly, I have to say, got into an argument with, he said Buryat, Mongolian troops of the Russian army, at a checkpoint, and they beat him up and fractured his ribs. So those were my two immediate neighbors.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin. He has been in hospital, but also in the war zone for several weeks since I spoke to him. And in that time, we've talked about the specifics, the granular level of the war. But in that time, there's been several conversations ongoing about nuclear weapons. And Anatole has commented that nuclear weapons are not to be dismissed and are an alarm bell that the escalation that we've seen in Europe these last weeks can accelerate about strategic standoff between the Russian Federation, its ally China, and NATO. So when we come back, what about the nuclear weapons talk? How do the people of Ukraine regard it? How does Anatole regard it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.